The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
Yes, indeedy, we certainly live in our own world, don't we? Welcome to the program. There's a lot of news that I will discuss, and I'll give you the topics right off the bat. Should the burqa be banned, as it is banned in many nations? Switzerland is considering banning this throwback 10th century costume that has no business in a modern nation. It is an affront to civilization itself. It is not in the Quran. It is a disgrace. That is why so many nations, including African nations, have banned this absurd costume. We will talk about that. We will talk about the big, big deal. Well, you know what the real big deal is, not Trump's statement about the Second Amendment. That's been talked about over and over again. They're going crazy over it. The really big deal are the three interns who've been found dead. Yeah, that's the big story. You know about that one? You don't know about that one? What Julian Assange, WikiLeaks guy, said? That the people who leak him stuff risk their lives, and one of them was just found dead. That's as close as he could come to saying what, well, let's put it to you this way. There's nothing new under the sun. We had 8 years of this, didn't we? Remember Vince Foster and all of that? That's topic number 53,000. But what I really want to talk about is the renewal of my contract for a moment and my career in radio, where I've been, where I am, and where I intend to go, with your indulgence. And so what I have for you today is some special things I do. I have things for you that you may not have heard. Some of you may have heard some of them, including the original Virgin demo that I did back in 1993 before I was in radio, because many young people want to know how to get into radio. The answer is, what, are you crazy? Number one. But number two, when I put this demo together, I didn't know I could get into radio, and I want to play it for you. And then we have the Savage Nation trailer. We have Michael Savage battling liberal callers back in the 1990s. We have Michael Savage on KSFO radio when I was a local host circa 2000. We have a montage of the best moments of the show going back all these years. And I want to ask you something. How long have you been listening to the Savage Nation? Why do you keep listening? What is your first memory of this program? What is your favorite memory of this program? When did you first become a fan of the show? If you hate me, why do you listen? I mean, this is the part I don't understand. All of the progs, the jealous progs, the losers of society, listen to the show intently to hate me. I don't understand that part of it. If I don't like somebody, I don't watch them on television. I don't like, I'll give you a list of people. When I see them, I click the channel because they're everywhere. I can't stand them. I can't remember their names. I just obliterated them from my mind. What's her name? Wolfie Goldberg? Wolfie Goldberg? Woody Goldberg, I don't know her name. I hate her. I think she's the most talentless hack in the history of the world. If I see her face, I click right through it as fast as I can. Larry David, if I see him, I reach for my, I can't say it, it's a family show. I think the man should be banished to Iceland to open a pizza stand without any electricity for the rest of his life, maybe through eternity. That's what I'd like to do with a guy like that. But never, I mean, I don't, why listen to me if you don't like me? I don't get that. As a fan of the show, what do you want to hear more of? Do you want to hear more news, more views, or more reviews? Because let me tell you something. We're in an election cycle. I don't have to tell you that. With less than, what, 90 days to go until one of the two will be president? Whether we'll ever hear from Trump again is a question mark, because although we put him where he is, his advisors currently are putting him where he is, which is not where he was, nor where he should be. And if, God forbid, he should lose, it would not be because I didn't try and because you didn't vote for him. It will be because of the Cruz bots who stabbed him in the back. It will be because of the Weekly Standard rat who was never, ever, ever a reliable source. That kid from New York whose father bought him the magazine. This guy, you know, the Never Trumpers. The Cruz people who stabbed him in the back over and over again, watching their ratings plummet. until finally they said, oh, yeah, I'm for him. Yeah, right. People are not that stupid. And so, yeah, I don't know what he's doing right now. I know that his managers are not trustworthy. I don't trust his campaign managers at all. I've told you that. I haven't minced words, and I suspect they heard that I have contempt for them because I think they're undermining him, frankly. And, you know, there's an old Jimmy Durante statement that I'll never forget. He was an old comedian when I was a kid. He was still around. And I liked him as a kid. I didn't know why. He was a funny guy, and he had a certain persona of friendliness about him, so I gravitated to him. I always liked freakishly weird people, and he was freakishly weird. He was not a handsome man. He was a weird-looking guy. And I like weird-looking people because I think that they have to struggle harder than the good-looking people. So he had a statement. I think it's from him. He could have borrowed it from someone else. I think he did. Be awfully nice to everyone you meet on the way up because you're going to meet them all on the way down. That's what I'd like to say to Paul Manafort, because the people who put Trump where he is, who gave him the victories when he needed every ounce of help he could get, are the people who are going to put him over the finish line. And they have to remember that you are not the unwashed masses of to be taken for granted conservatives, okay? That's what I would like to say, and I just did. So, okay, we did that. Now I want to go back to the story of the day, which is on the Drudge Report. It's very important that you see it, because the headline is very simple. Westwood One, that's my syndicator, has inked a multi-year renewal with myself, Michael Savage. It's an important story to me because I don't have to read you the thing. You can read it on your own device off the Drudge Report. It was all over the media. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for me. And many of you said, well, I didn't know if you were going to stay in radio. Can I tell you the truth? Neither did I. This is not, you know, people say, oh, yeah, it was a slam dunk. It wasn't a slam dunk. I got to tell you something. If you're young and struggling, nothing comes easy. Ask anybody in business, no matter how wealthy they are, if anything they've ever done comes easy. It doesn't. It is a lengthy, difficult series of discussions and negotiations that yield the fruits of your labor. And many people who are resentful of success do not know this. They assume that successful people have everything handed to them, that everything just comes to them, and they wonder why they don't have these things happen for them. I can't answer for the next man. I had 30 years of wandering in the desert. I tried to pump wells and I came up dry. When I had young children, I was pumping wells and they were coming up dry. And I never, ever gave up. I never quit. I just went and got new drilling equipment and pumped a new well. And then it became such a joke within my own mind that I said I'm like a wildcatter who hasn't hit a gusher in 20 years. That's exactly what it was like. And there's the old Jackie Mason joke. I love that joke in the beginning when he came back from obscurity and he said, yeah, I'm an overnight success. It only took me 50 years to get where I am. That's a great line. The point is that everybody who succeeds in anything has to struggle for it. Goes back to a famous statement, which I'll never forget, when I was 18 years old, by the sports star Joe Namath. I'll never forget that statement. Joe Namath was handsome, successful, the greatest athlete of his time. He said something that struck me as a young man. I'll have to put it in the right vernacular for a family show. He said, I don't know how to translate what he said. I should be good at this. I should have rehearsed this, but I don't rehearse any of my show. He said, I've never had sex with a woman that I didn't work for. That's what he said. Now, when you're 18 years old and you think you're the only one who has to talk his way across the gates of paradise, you understand what that means. Joe Namath gave a lot of encouragement to a lot of guys when he said a thing like that, you know. So that's the opening to the show. I'm going to have a lot of news. I'm going to have a little self-indulgence today. We're going to touch on the big issues of the day, like the deaths of the interns who were about to rat out somebody in the DNC. We're going to talk about the Clinton Foundation probe being blocked by the Department of Justice, which just came out again. You can see the headline on Drudge. And, of course, to me, the biggest story is my story because it's my life. Radio host Michael Savage extends run with host's new contract, and it's a fabulous story. It's the latest feather in my cap, who first hosted the Savage Nation in San Francisco in 1993, by the way. I think it was I don't know when it was. It was 94, 93, I think. I now air on 235 stations, according to Westwood One. And as you well know, on the East Coast, my show is heard from 3 o'clock until about 6 o'clock. On the West Coast, it's heard during lunchtime for me, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, which is why I sometimes am heard, eating on the air, which I promise to do less of, especially since, come January, this show will be streamed live. Now, that's a big deal for me because I'm kind of an anonymous guy. I never give interviews, or rarely do I give them, okay? I give a few this year on Skype. I don't do public events. I try to stay out of the public's eye. My dog is better known than I am, as you know from the book Teddy and Me. So I am going to have cameras put in all of my home studios for a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons is because, as I said to my family, who said, are you crazy? Why are you doing this? You're a private personality. You're loved for your mind and your voice. Why do you want to have a camera on you? And what I answered straight up, as I said to my family, after they didn't know I was signing that in the deal. They only saw it last night, and one of them was very incensed over it that I'm going to do the camera thing. He says, "What?" So I said, "Well, there's a lot of ham in me, and all I've been serving for 22 years are the eggs." He laughed. He got the whole story. In other words, I do like to perform on my own terms, and every radio show is a performance. You ask the three or four people in my life who I have led in a radio studio, including some pretty famous people, they can't believe what I do physically during a show. I'll tell the story another way. Back in 94, when I was a local host, I had my young, handsome, successful son fill in for me one day on KSFO. People don't know this. So he did the show, I think, for 3 hours. He got off the air and he said to me, "How the heck do you do this, Dad?" He said, I didn't realize how exhausting this was. I didn't answer him because there's no answer for it. If the wellspring is there, it keeps producing the fresh water. If it's not there and it runs dry, you're just out of luck. But my arms move, my head moves, my body moves. And when I do the streaming come January with video, you will see some of the great things I have in my studios. Odd things, interesting things, beautiful things. Antiques, non-antiques, dogs, you'll see Teddy. And then I'm going to do two 20-minute segments that will not be aired on radio as well for subscribers only. And that would be whatever I want to do. Maybe you'll go to a restaurant with me for a 20-minute segment. Maybe you'll come for a ride with me in one of my cars. I don't know. We'll have to see what's going on. But I am going to take this syndicated show to new levels in January 17. I am going to create a three-dimensional show. Number one, on the station that you are listening to this show on right now, that is terrestrial broadcast stations, as a live stream and with special segments created only for subscribers. My friends, I want to thank you for making it happen. That's the reality. Without an audience, you know what? You got two Dixie cups and a string. And I really bless God, or thank God for the blessings of my audience every day. And if you think this is hyperbole, I can't help you. You're more cynical than I am. But the fact of the matter is, you ask the guys who are on the opposite side of my Skype screen, Robert Borowski on the board and Jim Verde on the phones. You got to go through Jim to get on the show. If I remember, I do make a little prayer before the show. Today I put my hand on a Bible as I'm in court, and I said, here's the Bible right here. You'll see it when the Bible with the 500 post-its in it. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Like swearing myself into a court of law. It's the best I can do. And that's it. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I have so much that I would like to cram in to these 3 hours. I may need tomorrow to do it as well. I got to jump right to a caller, though, because they're as good as the things I'm going to play. And here we go. Wendy on WABC, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. You asked, why do we listen to your show? So I'm going to tell you why I listen to your show. You're one of the very few talk show hosts that can synthesize a new idea. You don't constantly regurgitate talking points.
Thank you. There's nothing more I can say because I 100% try to do so. I'm not going to knock anyone else. I think that Mozart speaks for Mozart. Salieri speaks for Salieri, and your piano teacher speaks for your piano teacher. Thank you for the call. And, you know, the issue that I want to bring up is this. Every show has its organic flow. I was telling it to the guys during the break. For example, the first segment of a three-hour show, just a little inside thing, is the launch off the pad. Now, you watch rockets being launched. Do you know how much kinetic energy is necessary to launch that rocket? Most of it is in the takeoff. Am I right? You see all the power. You see the flame coming out. You see the rocket is hardly moving, right? And then slowly it goes up. Segment one of a radio show. Remember, there's 3 hours, so it's 4, 8, 12 segments. The first segment is the launch. The second segment is almost the booster rocket where you want to get out of the atmosphere. The third segment, which we will go to after the next break, puts us into the stratosphere and so on. And, of course, the game is to not fall to Earth. That's the problem for most of us. I can speak for myself as well as anybody else. Most people who are good in talk radio and have succeeded can certainly get themselves into the stratosphere. But for how long they can stay there is another story. So I have wonderful things for you today to keep us in the stratosphere, including segments of childhood stories, the Virgin Demo, Love by the Sewer Plant, The Leatherman Ends Up with Cancer, Louis the Alcoholic, who taught Savage how to bend nails with his bare hands, Half Man and Half Woman in Long Beach, The Cultural Phenomenon of Crack Pants, The Nutty Friend with a Wacko Mother who was on speed, The Chestnut Man outside the Museum of Natural History, right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
In the radio industry, you have to fight to survive. One man, one way, Michael Savage. Against all odds, Michael Savage survives. Attacked from the left, attacked from the right, an independent conservative, borders, language, culture, Michael Savage, the Savage Nation. Michael Savage, he did it his way, undaunted and fearless, representing the heart of America, fighting for America's soldiers, fighting for America's policemen, exposing the Islamofascists, fighting the liberal wackos, speaking out against the excesses of the Republicans. Michael Savage, author of the New York Times best-selling books, The Savage Nation, The Enemy Within, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, and The Political Zoo. No man can stop him. Michael Savage going strong.
That's very good. That was done a long time ago. That was done way back when, because all these new books have come out. And look, I would be remiss not to tell you, I'm so proud I'm announcing again, my last nonfiction book. Many say, it's hype, you're going to do another one. I don't think so. I spoke to my agent this morning. I told him I only want to do my previously unpublished novels and fantasies. And he's got somebody very interested in that. But Scorched Earth will be out after Labor Day. It's our last chance to turn America around. Let me read you two paragraphs from it. My intro is from a French scholar who you never heard of who wrote this. Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. That says it all as far as I am concerned. Because if Hillary is not stopped, she will be the final assassin of this great nation of ours. Now, the last 8 years of progressive policies and open borders have poisoned America. Our Constitution has been trampled by a divisive president. And sadly, America is rapidly becoming a second world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos. Worse yet, Obama is leaving Hillary a legacy and a playbook. It's no secret that she plans to continue the Obama doctrine, which has determined that America will no longer exist as a sovereign nation. My new book, Scorched Earth, exposes Hillary Clinton as a fear-mongering opportunist, even as it shows that there is a way to save our cherished freedoms. Read the details in Scorched Earth and join me as we the people mobilize. As always, thanks for your support. You can pre-order now by going to Amazon.com in bookstores a week after Labor Day. That's it. I think it's a very good summary. I couldn't say it better myself. Now let's go to some callers. Kenny on KSFO, line 6. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'm a young gay liberal in San Francisco. I listen to you every day. I can't tell you how grateful I am to hear your version and your take on everything conservative. While I'm liberal, I try to understand the other side and where they're coming from. And I have to tell you, you're the only conservative voice that I trust. I can't hear anyone else, but I trust you.
Look, I want to say thank you. We all want to hear that. I think why you listen to me, given your social, let us say, selection, or how you choose to see the world, is through a certain lens. I see the world through a certain lens that's different, and it's because I'm a lot older than you, right? I mean, you're a young guy. What are you, in your 30s?
35.
Hello, Kenny, how old are you?
Yeah, I'm 35.
35, did he say? I couldn't hear him very well. All right, so you're a lot younger than I am. But, Kenny, you understand that there are many worldviews in a multifaceted nation. I think the reason that you resonate with my show, whether you agree with me or not, is irrelevant. The reason you enjoy listening or want to listen at all is because what you hear in me is not so much the conservative viewpoint. What you hear is a reasoned viewpoint, number one. And number two, I would have to say an artistic viewpoint. I try to bring some of that to it, as well as just straight out diatribes. You know what I'm saying? If I just hit over and over again the same thing, I wouldn't listen to it.
Well, you're very artistic, especially when you play the harmonica, but you absolutely...
Oh, God, don't
I love
remind me. I think my family made me throw it in the bay, but I have it somewhere in the kitchen.
But really forced me out of my comfort zone, and I really appreciate that. You're the only person who can do that for me, but...
Okay, do you want a copy of Teddy and Me, or you want to wait for Scorched Earth, the free copy today?
Oh, I'd love Scorched Earth.
I'm sorry, which one?
Scorched?
Okay, stay on the line. You get scorched. You'll get scorched the week after Labor Day. I hope it's not as hot as... Okay, my friends, we're going to talk about other stuff, and it's a time to look back and a time to look forward for me and radio. And again, I want to say this. Look, come December, the election will be over. Either Hillary Clinton will be president or Donald Trump will be president. Nothing else is going to happen, no matter what you may think. No one else is going to be president. You hear me? It doesn't matter what you may think. That's it. One of them will be president. Most of us don't accept that. We don't even recognize the reality of that statement. Come the day after the election, that's going to be the reality. One of them will be president. And we're all going to have to learn to live with that fact and live with each other. So, given that I just signed an extension of my radio deal for quite a while, and that I hope I have many years left, that's of course not up to me, it's up to God. You have to ask yourself, do you think I'm going to get up every day? Let's say Trump wins, for example. Do you think I'm going to get up every day and sit here and be Trump's PR man? I'm not going to do that. This is not going to be what I'm doing. I don't do it now. Why would I do it then? I don't find politicians the be-all and end-all of my existence. They're not the stars, the moon, and the sun. There's an entire constellation outside the world of politics, and I've lived in those other worlds for so many years, whether they be the worlds of herbal medicine, or the worlds of nutritional medicine, or the worlds of searching for plant cures, in very distant islands, whether it be ethnobotany. I've been fascinated by many things in my life, and I've written many books, going back to 1972, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods. I was as much in love with that subject as I am with politics today. In 1975, I thought I was going to save America from the loss of treason cities. Would you believe it? I did a whole book, took me years to write, Plant a Tree, A Working Guide to Regreening America. I was like Johnny Appleseed. It didn't make me a lot of money, but I loved the book. I loved writing it. You know, ask any artist. The process is the whole thing. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, don't do it. So you do the best you can. If it sells, it sells. What are you going to do about it? Kill yourself. And then in 1976, if you can believe this, I won an award. Many of you don't know this, for a book I wrote for children. It was called the Outstanding Science Book of the Year, I think. Bugs in the Peanut Butter, Dangers in Everyday Food. Wow, was that ahead of its time. Man's Use for Plants. Then I got into home brewing in 1977. I wrote a book, The Taster's Guide to Beer, Brews and Breweries of the World. I ate and I drank that topic. In fact, I remember going with friends here in San Francisco to Tommy's Joint. I don't go there much anymore. And tasting beers of the world for the book. I took some pictures in there. 81, I wrote The Way of the Skeptical Nutritionist. 82, The Art of Feeding Children Well. 83, Nutrition Against Aging. 83, Secrets of Fijian Medicine. 83, A Novel, Vital Signs. 84, Getting Off Cocaine. That's a very interesting story. Yeah, I don't want to get into it and get distracted, but it was a book so ahead of its time. I'll never forget getting a letter. There were no emails then. A letter from a doctor who ran a treatment center for coke addicts in Bronx, in the Bronx, New York. Actually, it's the Bronx. I came from, I don't even know it's the Bronx. Well, Bronx, New York. I think it's Bronx, New York. It's like the Brooklyn. Anyway, he was a doctor from the Bronx, New York, and he said, I used the program you described, and it actually works. Because, of course, it works. Then in 84, The People's Herbal. 86, Maximum Immunity, Houghton Mifflin published it. Went into 16 languages. How to Fortify Your Natural Defenses Against Cancer, AIDS, Arthritis, Allergies, Even the Common Cold. 87 was one of the greatest passions of my life at that time, reducing the risk of Alzheimer's. And in fact, I ran a small research group called the Alzheimer's Research Organization. It wasn't well-funded, but one individual who's dead now was a wealthy art dealer whose father died of Alzheimer's. He took a liking to me, and he was funding my research in a small amount of money. He was a great guy, so I was able to write those books. 89, The Complete Book of Homeopathy. 92, The Herbal Bible. 93, Healing Children Naturally. I republished it, by the way, in 07. It's on my website. 94, Herbs That Heal, Prescription for Herbal Healing. 95, The Antioxidant Cookbook. There's a lot more. I can't believe this list. I mean, this is crazy. 91, The Death of the White Male. Now, think about that one. In 1991, before I was in radio, I published a small pamphlet, The Death of the White Male, The Case Against Affirmative Action. Interesting. 95, The Compassionate Conservative Speaks. That's after I was in radio already. 03, The Enemy Within. 05, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, The Political Zoo, Psychological Nudity, Banned in Britain, Trickle Up Poverty, Abuse of Power, Trickle Down Tyranny, Train Tracks, A Time for War, Stop the Coming Civil War, Countdown to Mecca, Government Zero, Diseases Without Borders, Teddy and Me, and The Scorched Earth. So you say, how in the world, how prolific you are. Well, okay, does it mean that I should be ashamed of the fact that I am prolific? I never saw a society like this, the one I live in, and I have to be very, very generic about this. You know, you got to hand it to the liberals. They support each other. They rarely ever say anything negative about each other. They give each other awards. They give each other Grammys. They give each other the Academy Awards. They support each other with banquets. I'm sad to tell you that the conservatives rip each other to pieces. They don't support each other. Take a look at what goes on. You all think that we're all friends. I'm sorry to tell you we're not all friends. Everyone wants the other one to fall on his face and collapse. I am sure that this announcement this morning of this long-term contract renewal made a lot of people very miserable. I'm sorry to tell you that. And some of them pose as stalwarts of America. Stalwarts of the right way in America. The right way. Everyone else is the wrong way. Only they know the right way. And you have to judge for yourself how much of this is hyperbole, how much is real. I get the same accusations, but, you know, I have to live with my reality. I know that I'm going to give myself a litmus test now. I really don't have to give myself a litmus test now. My work speaks for me. Let's put it to you that way. Let's leave it at that. You decide. I'm not going to hear sell myself on. I love the guys who say they're more conservative than the other guy. The other one's not real. He's a fake one. This is not a real one. He's a real one. I'm not a real one. I'm the real one. He's a fake. Come on. Do you ever hear liberals say that about each other? Have you ever heard a liberal say, I'm a real liberal, the others are pseudo-liberals? I've never heard that. Why do they all support each other? And because of that, Hillary is gaining momentum. And because of the backbiting of the
backstabbing conservatives in the media. Trump is collapsing, by the way. After ripping him to shreds for 6 months, suddenly they're all supporting him. The Never Trump people are the reason Trump is falling apart. Do you understand that? And it's the same elements here in the radio business or in the television world. You think everyone at Fox News loves each other, for example? With those lawsuits swirling around? All of those frum girls, those clean as the driven snow, all of them clean as the driven snow. Every one of them. Oh, he looked at me. Roger Ailes looked at me. I was shocked. I had never had sex in my whole life. Although I dressed like a harlot in a Saudi Arabian cat house, I am shocked that Roger Ailes looked at me and hired me for my looks when all I was selling were my looks. I am just stunned. That's why I wore 4-inch heels to a preview for the job with Roger Ailes and a skirt up to my panties. I am just shocked that he looked at me that way. And I have to sue him right now. Yeah, they all love each other over there at Fox News. That's a little distraction from what I wanted to do. But I had to, you know, I had to clear the air a little bit. That's all. And I'm glad I did. So we're going to have a little bit more insights here. Of course, today is a little self-indulgent and celebratory. And again, I don't want to lose some of the big topics that I did mean to get to, and I hope you review some of them for yourself. But do you know that senior German ministers are calling for a ban on wearing the burqa? Do you know that there are countries that ban this 10th century prison for women? The full burqa and niqab ban, France. You can't wear that garbage in France and so forth. Banned in Belgium since 2011. Banned in Chad. Banned in Cameroon. Banned in Niger. Banned in Congo. Banned in Tessin, Switzerland since 2016. Why do you think this 10th century costume is being banned in all of these nations? It's not even in the Quran. It's a scam. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. We are celebrating today and doing some news as well on the Savage Nation. Westwood One inked a multi-year renewal with me, and it's all over the radio media, which means it's all over the media. It's been on the Drudge Report since the morning. It's another wake-up call for me. I gotta tell you, when I woke up and found that I was banned in Britain, no one told me. I went on the Drudge Report, I found that I was banned in Britain. The same here. I mean, I woke up, I knew that the renewal was going to happen, but I didn't, you know it was going to be up there. And I'm quoting myself, my deal with Westwood One caps my winning the National Radio Hall of Fame nomination. My show is famous for my news, views, and reviews, and we will take it to new levels come January 2017. We'll be doing a three-dimensional show on broadcast stations, such as that which you are listening to now, as a live stream and with special segments created only for subscribers. Westwood One President and Cumulus Executive VP Corporate Marketing Suzanne Grimes says, "We're proud to extend our relationship with Dr. Savage. He is top-notch, Hall of Fame talent with a unique voice in American radio. He has some of the most engaged fans and is a proven, consistent ratings generator. We look forward to many more years together." Thank you, Suzanne. My friends, this has been a wonderful hour for me, and I hope to keep it up in the stratosphere in the next hour. I hope you'll be with me because I do have all of the news, including the Trump Second Amendment scandal, which is not a scandal. But what about the death of those interns who are on the way to the FBI, such as Seth Rich? Hear anything about that, my friends? Oh, it didn't make it to your local rag, did it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The world's coming to an end if either one of them wins. And yet the world will not come to an end if either one of them wins. In fact, America will go on if either one of them wins. So, yeah, I know which side I'm on. I've given it my best. But I'm not going to, you know, kill myself over this. There's nothing more I can do. So welcome to the program. I'm talking about the big news on the renewal of my contract, because to me it's a big deal. To you it isn't, all right? To me it is. To the next man it means nothing. To me it means something. It's still on a Drudge Report. I'm shocked. Radio host Michael Savage extends radio deal, adds cameras to Savage Nation. You know, I got to tell you something. Usually if an article's written about me and it gets on the Drudge Report, I keep saying to you, that's like the big board. It's like the New York Stock Exchange. You know, there's little boards, there's mini boards, there's blogs, there's obscure little, you know, scribblers here and there. And then there's the big board. Like, this is the New York Stock Exchange. So I see it up there. I don't know how. And it only stays up, these articles, if people go on it, if there's traffic fun. It's like living. It's like the movie. Remember Live and Die in L.A.? I told you about last week, that soundtrack, that pounding soundtrack from that movie, which comes back to me. Robert, did we ever get the good part of that? We never did. That To Live and Die in L.A. thing. Bam, 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 bam. That movie from the 80s. I saw another movie from the 80s. I couldn't believe this movie. The actress was so unbelievable. I didn't know who she was. I forget the movie. Oh, The Grifters. And I was watching The Grifters. I'd never seen it. I wasn't that interested in it. It wasn't that good. It's a little, you know, all over the map. Scorsese produced it. He was going to direct it. Then he produced it. I didn't know she was that compelling looking. I mean, she was remarkable in that movie. Not the older one with the wig. The other one who married the guy who allegedly with the Lemmings. I don't remember her name. But is she still around? She is still around as an actress. You know, it's funny. Yeah, Annette Bening. I'll tell you the funny thing about this story that I'm about to tell. You know how in movies, you watch a movie, a screen test. In a screen test, the Caesars of Hollywood determine whether a person has the ability to hold an audience. That's all it's about. That's all a screen test is. Will they watch her? Will they watch him? That's all. I don't care how smart they are or whatever. They've got to have that, what's it called, like I would call a screen glue. I just made up a word, screen glue. Do they glue you to the screen? She glues you to the screen, okay? There are actors who do. That's the same in radio. Either we glue you to the speaker, right, or we're dead. That's why I say the theme of To Live and Die in L.A., even though I'm not in L.A., I'm in another place. It's the same thing. It's that pounding theme, bang, 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 bang. And nothing happens by itself. Nothing happens by accident. No matter how big the person is, and there's people a lot bigger than me in this field and in others in terms of money, not in terms of talent, mind you, they work every second of their life to stay where they are. No one gave it to them. And this is the problem with this growing socialism in America. The have-nots are being told that anyone who has achieved anything had it handed to them or stole it from them. This is what leads to a revolution. This is what leads to what's going on in Syria, building this resentment. And that's why Bernie Sanders, who knows much better, was such a dangerous element in this campaign. He was fostering the big lie that there were haves in society who stole it from the have-nots. That's why I hated Bernie Sanders, because I come from New York. And although I left New York in 1967 or 68, I knew the type. They were the worst types in the city. They were shunned by all of my relatives. They were the trade unionist types who spittled in your face at Passover ceremonies in a house. They'd grab you in a corner and huck you a chinik about Karl Marx or about socialism or the labor unions. They were horrible, miserable people. Let me put it to you this way. The people I knew in my life who you would go out, let's say, when you were poor to dinner with, I remember when you'd share checks in those days. We don't do that anymore. I pick up the check wherever I am. I always have for years now. I have money, so I do it. I don't go out with a lot of people. I always want to pay. It's easier. No, I'm going to split the check. You had a piece of the chop suey. You ever watch the liberals after a Chinese meal with three or four other people? To the penny, I see them fight over it. There was a poet here in San Francisco, a real creep. If you ever went out with this guy, this bookstore creep, he would leave 5 cents for a tip after cutting the check up to the mill. Not to the penny, but the mill. I didn't eat all the rice. I only ate 3/4 of it, although we shared it with 6 people. This is the type liberals are. That's what Bernie Sanders is. And they espouse communism every day. The cheapest people on earth are those types.
They're all the ones who speak about socialism, but don't ever go out to lunch with them and split the check. That's all. Here we are, hour two. Here we go. We're talking about, what are we talking about? Whatever we're talking about. Savage views. So I have hour two now. I'm in the stratosphere. Now, the hard part begins now. Hour one was easy because I launched the show. We're flying. And now what am I going to do for an hour? I could keep up with this, or I could go more into that. So I think I'll throw a little bit of that in here. There is a poor young man who is now dead. He was shot in the back a few weeks ago. Seth Rich. He was a DNC intern, and he was on the way to the FBI with some information. And last night there was a shock story that came out of Julian Assange, the genius behind WikiLeaks, who went on Dutch media. Well, let's listen to clip 07, Robert. Play it for... Let me explain again. Here's Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, who suggests that the murdered DNC staffer was a source of the Hillary leak. Listen carefully to 07.
Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material, and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So...
What are you suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting that our sources take risks.
Okay, that's as close as he could come to telling you another Vince Foster with the thumb on the trigger. So now the poor kid's father, the dead kid, God rest his soul, his heartbroken father, Joel Rich, has this to say in clip 8.
If it was a robbery, it failed because he still had his watch, he still had his money, he still had his credit cards, he still had his phone. So it was a wasted effort, except we lost a life.
Well, they said he was on the way to the FBI. It was just before the big disclosure that led to the end of the career of Wasserman Schultz. They threw her out after this, didn't they? Right? So here we go again. And all you're hearing about is Trump and the Second Amendment because of something he said last night, which, by the way, was stupid. Incidentally, stupid. Stupid. Play clip 9 for the stupidest thing Trump ever said.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
But, oh, no.
But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Not good. Not good. He's not a talk show host. They're not listening to me. They're not listening to me. He's got to go back to a teleprompter. He's got to go back to a script. He's got to get a speechwriter. He's not running a reality show. He's not a talk radio host where you can play with words like that. This is not talk radio. The world is listening. Take it from someone who knows the power of words. Words can heal. Words can kill. Words can crucify both ways. I've been in the word business all of my life. And for his campaign staff to let him go out like that tells me more about them than I'd like to know. Did you hear what I just said? Now, we shouldn't be talking about that. We should be talking about the murdered DNC staffer, but the clever media individuals, of course, turned the tide already. That's all we're talking about. He made it easy for them. 855-407-282. Of course, we're talking about radio host Michael Savage extends radio deal, adds cameras to Savage Nation. It's been on the Drudge Report from the beginning of the day. I was pleased to wake up and see it. It made my day to be on the New York Stock Exchange of sites. And here I am. How long it will go on is up to God, actually, not even up to me anymore. You know, that's the interesting thing. Remember that famous scene in The Godfather? I was watching they redo them now with every outtakes and intakes. They're like 6 hours long. You ever see that one? Scenes that never made it to the movie theater. They're phenomenally interesting, the ones they cut out. And I don't know if this one made it into the final cut. I think it did. Where his original consigliere or lawyer is dying, and the Marlon Brando character is brought into his deathbed, brought to the deathbed in that scene. And the guy who's dying, the old Italian, lawyer, who's advised this gangster all his life, is dying in his last moments. He reaches up and he grabs him. He grabs Brando and he says, "Godfather, Godfather, stay with me, stay with me. If death sees you, he will be afraid and run away." And he holds on to his sleeves. He doesn't want to let go because he knows once this powerful presence leaves that room, death will take him. It's astounding how they did these things. Coppola was a genius. Great, great film director. I'm not knocking him. There's no but, no ands, no digs, no this. Yes, I know he's a psycho-liberal from you-know-where, but that's part and parcel of the game they play in Hollywood. You know, why they have to all play that game is not a mystery to me. I understand who controls Hollywood. I understand how the psychosis of Hollywood has infected virtually everyone, with very rare exception. And in order to work in that town, you have to make believe you're one of them. If you don't, well, you can be very happy not to work in a movie again. And just go on talk radio shows every once in a while, or write a blog for Breitbart. I'm not knocking them either. Breitbart is a great site. I'm not knocking it. They have a wonderful news site. They do. It's a good site as well. Some original writers are terrific, especially since they got rid of that person who should have been thrown out a long time ago. Once he left, it became a totally clean site. They got rid of that rat lawyer. Oh, boy, I wish I could tell you things about him, but I already did. WJR, Dave, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, you were saying about how you want to know how to keep people listening to you because you're so popular. I know that you hate when we tell you that you make us laugh, but you do. That's primarily why we listen.
Yeah, well, come on, because that's a thing. Like, you remember the famous character in the movie where he says you're funny and he almost pulls out a gun and shoots the guy? I'm funny? What do you mean, how funny? What do you mean, funny? What, I make you laugh or I'm just funny? And he builds himself up into a paranoid fantasy and shoots the guy. Remember that movie?
Well, you don't sit there with a pistol on your workstation, but I remember the time when you told us you had a crazy caller call in, and
I did. One Friday, I said I only want crazy people to call. That was a fun show.
Well,
did Hillary call in that day or not?
No. Did you play the sound to call to make her call in, the harpy screeching?
What sound would I have to use as a lure? Like a duck lure to get her to call. What sound would bring her in?
A change falling from a pocket.
Oh, you mean that, the sound of money? The sound of money. I don't think wait a minute. I don't know if they do wire transfers into the Clinton Foundation. Do you think it's all done in cash? What does the cash sound like? We got to get the sound of cash.
Play the sound of, you've got mail. And then she'll come running.
Very funny. So you listen to me loyally in Detroit on terrestrial, on JR, or on a iPhone?
I followed you everywhere, from from the other station that is now defunct to now that you're on Cumulus to here in Detroit, from iPhone, everywhere. I can't go.
Well, what are you doing in Detroit? You used to be in San Francisco?
No, I used to be in Ohio. I'm another one of these gay kind of liberals who listen to you because you present the other side with sense.
I don't understand why a person who has to say they're gay and they listen to me. What's the shock? If a person's gay, what does their sexual orientation have to do with their brains? I don't understand that part of it. In other words, you could be a political this or a political that and also have a sexual orientation if you're a guy towards men. Why must you think that if you're, let's say, oriented towards dating men, you have to be a liberal? Where is that connected?
You sent a copy of Teddy and Me to me. I was on social media with it, and I was prepared for the onslaught that I would get from my friends to say, oh, my God, it's Mike Savichuk, and you listen to him, he's crazy, he says all these horrible things. I said, well, yeah, he might, but.
Well, what happened?
But, well, they're still my friends.
Oh, so you didn't get ripped to shreds, even though you got Teddy and Me.
But, like,
all right, well, keep listening. That's all I could say. If a guy likes men, what does that have to do with his politics? How could he not be a natural political conservative who's going to vote for Trump, who might, and I say might, just protect him from the Islamists within, while she'll bring in 30 or 100,000 or 300,000 of them who will put all gays at risk? How in the world can a gay person not see that? I don't understand. Okay, listen, my friends, we're in the stratosphere together. We're flying along, and I'll be back to keep you in orbit. So please settle back and order another drink.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. WikiLeaks has decided to issue a $20,000 reward for information leading to conviction for the murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich. Interesting that it didn't make it to your local newspaper, Pravda. Interesting that Wolf Blitzer hasn't touched the story. But if Trump burps, it's headlines around the world. People die with strange associations to the DNC while nothing is robbed. Not even a blip on Wolf Blitzer's radar. Never heard the story. Doesn't know anything about it. Well, okay, let's go for the callers. While we're celebrating here, and I haven't gotten to some of the great stuff I want to do on the program. The Virgin Demo, Love by the Sewer Plant, The Leatherman Ends. I like The Leatherman Ends Up Back Where He Started, having lost everything and gets cancer. That's one of my favorite stories from the old years of the Savage Nation. It was in Train Tracks. Many of you understand that that book is a quintessential book of stories from years ago. It's a great book. Or Louie the Alcoholic, who taught me how to bend nails with my bare hands. I like that story. Do you know, I can remember to this day Louie sitting at our table, showing me how to bend a nail. I was a skinny kid. I was shocked that the nail bent.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Why am I obsessed with this death thing? I don't understand. It comes up, this morbidity. I don't know if people like it or not. Maybe I should eliminate it from my act. I'll never forget when the New Yorker wrote that article by Khalefa Sena. He noticed that I was obsessed with this issue of death, and that every other... going way back. Well, you know, look, if you've read... You remember the hippie era? Raise your hand if you remember, and you know where I'm going. You can read my mind if you're a long-time listener. Remember the teachings of Don Juan, that book, that time, and the age of the psychedelics? In the teachings of Don Juan, this Mexican curandero discloses his view of the worlds, and he says that death is with us all the time. I know it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. No, no, no. No, I live in the Hallmark world. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Technicolor, Disneyland, Prozac, alcohol, beer, pot, death go away. But he said that death is with us all the time, travels with us. That's how see, the thing about the masculine trip, that he sees that. And whatever that means, I'm just saying. So there it is. But in my culture, you see, this is the problem. I'm a man displaced. I'm from New York, who's been in the Bay Area of California since 1974, but I'm like a displaced person here. The people here are sick. I remember when I first moved here, the stupidity that I used to hear, the idiocy, such as, oh, embrace death. They were all like pseudo-Buddhists. They didn't even know what Buddhism was, but they were like mock Buddhists, former Catholics, former Jews, who suddenly embraced Buddhism, put on the clothes, put their hands together in Chinese restaurants, you know the type. Nevertheless, we embrace death, welcome death. So no, that's not my culture. My culture curses death. We tell death to go away, go find someone else, drop dead. I'm from the Carpathian region of Russia. Irrespective of anything else, we don't embrace death in my culture. We tell death to go away, find somebody else. What are you embracing it for? What, they're not going to come soon enough? You want to lay there? Okay, forget it. I won't go down that road. So I'm reminded now, I got Robert laughing. If I get that guy laughing, it's good. It's a good sign. He's already jaded working for me for 2 years. He's heard it all. Could you have that one-minute piece from The Godfather? Jim, put it together for me. Just for a minute. If it's good, we'll run it. Let's hear it. Okay, it's the famous scene where the Consigli, it's cut out of The Godfather. The original Consigliori is dying on his deathbed. He wants Don Corleone, the Marlon Brando character, to stay with him and chase death away. Let's hear it. Just let's hear what it sounds like.
Godfather. Godfather. It is your daughter's wedding day. You cannot refuse me. Cure me. You have the power.
Jenko, I have no such power. But don't be afraid of that.
It has been arranged then?
You blaspheme. Zionist.
But you need your old concierge who will replace me. Stay with me, God. godfather. Help me to meet death. If he sees you, he'll be frightened. And leave me in peace. You can say a word. Pull few strings, eh?
It's a beautiful piece. It's actually bringing tears to my eyes because it's a beautiful thing. You talk about art. Who could write a deathbed scene like that today? And who would listen? I mean, this is amazing. Do you think any of the young guys in Hollywood who you see sitting around cafes with laptops pretending they're famous screenwriters, you know, drinking the coffee on this Melrose and that one, you're riding around, they're all famous screenwriters. Okay, some will be, whatever. Could they write a scene like that? Would they even understand it? Would anyone in an audience understand that? You know, here's a funny thing. I think that anyone would understand a scene like that today. It's not that the audience has gone away. It's like the writers have gone away. The directors, the producers have left the people. The people are still human beings. I don't care if the guy's the most hardcore gangbanger. I don't care what his race may be. He also thinks about the ultimate moment, doesn't he? Well, why do you think he's so tough? What do you think motivates a, quote, tough guy? When you think about that one, you think they don't have fear? They do have fear, but they've conquered the fears. And so they're willing to live with the reality of their fears. At the same time, they reject their fears. I became a new fan of the Bruce Lee movies, the early ones. I don't know how it happened. I was watching an old Bruce Lee movie. I was knocked out of the living room watching the early movies, how incredible this guy was. But the themes of some of these movies were awesome. And one of the early Bruce Lee movies was when he's teaching Kung Fu here in San Francisco to white people and to black people for that matter. And he's called in by the old Chinese in Chinatown, San Francisco, the triads. And they say to him, you cannot teach whatever they call it in Chinese to the white people, to the Gaijin. And he says, no, it's for everyone. And they said, you're not hearing us. You cannot teach the secret to the white people. Well, he doesn't listen to them, and he builds a school and an enterprise. And of course, the end of that story is that he died under suspicious circumstances, and the rumor to this day is that it was not an accident. The same thing happened to his son, Brandon Lee, another one people say was an accident. Sometimes there are accidents, and sometimes there are non-accidents, which brings us right back to the DNC intern who was found shot in the streets 2 weeks ago, allegedly on his way to the FBI with information. That's a huge story. That's been buried by the media. Instead, they're talking about Donald Trump's, you know, innuendo, for example. 855-407-282. This is a great moment for you to call the show at 855 to tell me what you want to tell me about the renewal of my contract. Many of you were afraid I was going to leave. And frankly, to be frank with you, when I said it to you, I was seriously considering leaving radio. But because all of us were able to come to our senses and work out a deal which made sense to all sides, which took a long time, as I said to you before, nothing happens overnight, and you have to have a tremendous amount of patience and faith to do any business deal. You ask anybody at any level, business is an organic phenomenon. You know, you read in the movies, oh, they did a deal and a handshake. Well, I'm sure those deals happen, but they don't always happen, nor often do they happen. Most deals are done very slowly and very deliberately over a long, long period of time. And then enter the dragon called the lawyers. Once the lawyers enter the scene and they started with the fine print, lawyers are well known in business deals as deal killers. Did you know that? And those of you who are not in business don't know this. But a good business person could come to a deal with another party after months of negotiation, and then, God forbid, they bring in the lawyers. The lawyers have to show how smart they are. They start modifying all the fine print, and they wind up killing the business deal. This is the biggest danger in any business deal, are the lawyers. Did you know that? Because everyone has to show their worth. So they come in, oh, look at this, put this in case of, or best efforts to do this. And the deal goes up in smoke. So you see what I'm saying here. You can pay so much attention to this and lose everything. So I want to go back now in time just a bit because it's a Savage Celebration Day for me, and I hope it is for my audience who got me where I am and keeps me where I am. Savage Nation extends run with hosts, new contract. Let's take the big board again. Let's see. Yep, you're still hitting it. radio host adds Cameron to the Savage Nation. I'm shocked they're still in the Drudge Report. It means that a lot of you are hitting the story, because it doesn't stay. It's like Live and Die in L.A. If you stop clicking, the story dies. So I want to go back to a story that I did years ago on this day of celebration. I don't get them that often. And I want to, I don't know, should I do Leatherman Ends Up with Cancer, or raise your hand, you want to hear this. You want to hear Leatherman Ends Up with Cancer, or Louie the Alcoholic Who Taught Savage How to Bend Nails with Your Bare Hands. Yes, I want to do that for one reason, and it's related to success. And many of you use my show for motivational reasons. So listen to this now of Louie the Alky, who taught me how to bend nails with my bare hands when I was a little boy. Yeah, I told you the story about Louie who got bitten by the monkey. That's boring. You heard it already. I told you about Louie how to bend the nail. Did I tell you how to bend nails, how Louie taught me how to bend nails? I didn't tell you that story. Louie was an alcoholic who cleaned bronzes down in the basement there at my father's store. And, of course, I did it once in a while because my father needed another, you know, servant that he could get for nothing. My father had a simple theory. Since he was providing me with room and board, I had to work for him for nothing. What are you going to do? Go out with your friends? What do you think you are, an American? What do you think you're going to get over on me? So I have to go down in the basement and clean the bronzes. You know, nice little upbringing. So down there was an alcoholic from the Bowery that when he was not on a bender, my father gave me like a dollar an hour or something, also to clean the bronzes. I got to like this alcoholic. He was a nice guy. Because when he was sober, he was an intelligent, sensitive guy. So over the years, Louis became a friend of mine. I confided in him a little. He was one of those like bimmies that, I don't know if they still exist, that type. You don't see them around. That very heavy drinking, quiet alcoholic, real skinny. There were certain kind of cheap white shirts that they would wear. They always had a cigarette dangling out of the right side of their mouth. It's a lost type. And very, very rangy type of guy, you know. Not emaciated. And they were strong, too. They can, if you would think that they were weak because they looked, they weren't. They were strong as nails, these guys. Anyway, once in my entire life, my dad drove him to our house and he ate dinner with us. After dinner, I sat around the dining table with Louis, the alcoholic, and learned a few tricks, like how to bend nails with my bare hands. Now, remember this. Here I was, a skinny 12-year-old kid, and here was this long-haired, sallow-faced, sort of vagrant alcoholic teaching me how to use mind over matter. And he used to say to me, you see, Michael, here's how you do it. You take that long nail and you put it between your hands. You put both thumbs up against the center point of the nail, and with your other fingers, you pull down towards you. Now concentrate, he said to me, on the center of that nail. Don't break your concentration, he said. Push those thumbs straight at that center point of the nail, and never for one millisecond lose your focus. He said, you'll soon feel the nail heating up. Right at the center point where you're concentrating and applying the pressure, this means the molecules in the nail are starting to move because of the pressure you're applying. That's the point at which you drive forward with your thumb and pull down with your hands a little more forcefully, he said. At that point, the nail will begin to bend. And listen, because it's tied to how we're going to beat the liberals. They're like a nail that you think you can't bend, but listen to this. Let me tell you something. It was truly amazing for me to learn how to bend nails with my bare hands from a man like Louis. He wasn't particularly strong. He wasn't exceptionally gifted, but he knew the secret of inner power. And if I could learn how to bend nails, anyone could. Likewise, while it appears the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, and other extremist liberal groups are hard as nails and unable to be bent, if all of us freedom and justice-loving Americans were to unite our energies and apply the proper pressures, I'm sure we could bend them like a two-penny nail.
Savage.
That's beautiful, Michael. That's really one of my best stories ever. And this, unfortunately, is not happening. As you well know, the Never Trump groups have not only not helped us bend the nail of liberalism, but they have impeded us from bending the nail of liberalism. Many of them are, in fact, doing the opposite of what they need to be doing. The Cruz people who refuse to come aboard because of this or because of that. They're helping Hillary Clinton become president. Never forget that. And on that wonderful note of bending nails or bending liberals or bending the election, I'll take a quick break and come right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I want to go to a hard news story of the DNC staffer who was found shot in the back about 2 weeks ago. KSFO, John, what do you want to say about that horrible story?
Well, Mike, congratulations, the icon and old soul of radio. But there was a move in 1975 called 3 Days of the Condor. You'd probably recall it. Robert Redford and Cliff Robertson were the key characters. And the final final scene of that movie tells the world about exactly what's going on today in Washington, D.C. and New York with the elites and the establishment and what's going on in this country. That movie is very telling. Many years ago, and that final scene in front of the New York Times where Cliff Robertson tells Robert Redford, who is a CIA analyst who walked in on much of what this DNC staffer probably was doing, and he told them, they're not going to print it. You can give them whatever you want. New York Times is not going to print it.
Why is it that no one is talking about the death of Seth Rich? Why is that not a story? The man is shot in the back. All of his possessions were still found with him, his watch, his ring, his money. This is a huge story. They said he was on the way to the FBI. How could this not be a major story?
Last time I checked, all those people in and around the Clintons from the Arkansas days when he was attorney general all the way up to yesterday or today, they don't talk about any of it. And it's just telling about the media. And that movie, people should go watch. I'm not a movie guy, but that movie tells...
Well, John, Julian Assange of WikiLeaks gave an interview in Holland, I think, just yesterday, which I just played. He implies that the murdered DNC staffer was the WikiLeaks source. Did you hear that interview with Mr. Assange of WikiLeaks?
I did, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Well, okay, thanks for calling. I just am shocked. Well, we're almost out of time in this hour. There'll be another hour in the stratosphere with the Savage Nation. I welcome you to stay or join us if you will. And again, for me, it's a big deal. Westwood One has signed a long-term extension with Michael Savage. It's all over the radio media. We're also talking about some of the news stories of the day, as well as the stories that are pertinent to my own life. And I want to get into the news stories that we are talking about, but the biggest one to me is not only Trump being slammed for a comment he made about the Second Amendment, but the much more important and big story is not what Trump may or may not have implied, but the actual death of a DNC staffer. Think about that. Think about how twisted Pravda is, that they would take a statement Trump made and read something into it that he never implied and make it as though he actually killed someone. And by the way, he's been visited by the Secret Service today. Did you hear that? The latest news? The Secret Service has interviewed Donald Trump because of the statements he made about the Second Amendment yesterday, while there's been no comment whatsoever about the strange murder of Seth Rich, who was allegedly on the way to the FBI with damning papers about the DNC. Secret Service today rushed the stage at a Hillary rally, propped to keep her up from falling over while making a speech. Actually wasn't today. We're looking backwards now. Actually it was today. It's another one, another rush job to prop her up. It's like the paper woman. How much longer can she take this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's a beautiful day, and every dog has his day. All the years I was down, you remember that old song, I've been down so long it's starting to look like up to me? Well, I would say that's the theme song of my life. But even in that thing, there are days that are good and days that are bad, even within that frame. Today's a good day. It's not going to change my fundamental outlook on life. It's fixed. I think Freud was right when he said that fundamentally by age 6 we're fixed as to who we are. I remember reading that when I was a teenager. It shocked me. It scared me. Because I always wanted to change. I wanted to grow into something better. So Freud said, we are who we are at 6. I didn't want to be who I was at 6 for the rest of my life. Did you? Anyway, I know you only want to hear Trump, Clinton, Clinton, Trump, Trump, Clinton, Trump, 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 Clinton, 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 Clinton.
There's nothing new to report other than Trump made an idiotic statement about the Second Amendment. And naturally, the media went insane. They're not talking instead about the death of the DNC staffer who found shot in the back last week or 2 weeks ago. Big story, huge story, worthy of a real free nation investigation, full investigation. Department of Justice should look into it. FBI should be investigating. They're not going to find anything anyway. Are you kidding me? So then you got the two jogger deaths. Now, that's not a fun story to even... None of these are fun stories. I don't even want to go there, but the two joggers, the one in New York and then the one up in Massachusetts, the girls were beautiful, both very similar in looks. Just as an outsider looking in, doesn't it look to you like a serial murderer? Now they're saying there may be a connection in those two gruesome rapes and murders. Gruesome. Cops won't rule out link between jogger murders. That'll get all the attention it deserves, but why are they not giving attention to Seth Rich's murder? I mean, why don't you rule out a link between Seth Rich's murder and politics, for example, since he was found with his money and his jewelry and his wallet, and he was on the way to the FBI? Wouldn't you think that's a story that the Wolf Blitzer should be covering? Now let's take some calls, because we are celebrating today on the Savage Nation, in case you don't know it, celebrating Savage Nation extending his run with Host's new contract. It's all over the media. It was in various and sundry industry publications, and it is linked up on the Drudge Report on the top right. It's still there. It means a lot of people are hitting it. Coming to us from Inside Radio, Savage Nation extends run with Host's new contract. Run. Run. The new deal calls for the host of the Savage Nation to introduce subscription-based digital-only content in 2017. Is the latest feather in the cap of Savage, blah, blah, blah. I shouldn't run over it. It's a big deal to me. Savage says he will create a three-dimensional show beginning in January. It will be on broadcast stations, such as the one you're listening on, as a live stream, such as the one you're not listening on right now, and with special segments created only for subscribers, he said. All right, so that's the news. So I've asked questions about that, because it's my day. This is like my birthday. How long have you listened to the Savage Nation? What keeps you listening? What is your first memory of the show? What is your favorite memory of the show? When did you first become a fan of the show? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? Is there anything you would like to hear more of during the show? What do you feel must be included in my upcoming Radio Hall of Fame speech? I promised you something, didn't I? Didn't I promise you that when I give that speech in November, God willing, at the Radio Hall of Fame, because you elected me? Remember, it was a contest between me. I can mention his name, Sean Hannity. Talented guy, he lost, and other people, they lost. It shows you, this is not the biggest show by any stretch of the imagination in terms of audience, and yet you were the most loyal of all the audiences. Think about that one. And I promised you something, didn't I? I promised you that in the little acceptance speech, I would say it's because of my audience and my message of borders, language, and culture, because I want that to go into the time capsule of the Radio Hall of Fame, of what we are living through during this reign of terror under Barack Obama for these last 8 years. And we had this knock. We had it made. Trump could have won. He still might win had it not been for the Never Trumpsters, particularly the Cruz people. They have so undermined him, along with the miserable establishment fake Republicans out of New York and Washington. I don't have to name them all. You know who they are. Because of them, Hillary just might win. And then what are they going to say, better her than him? Are you crazy? Are you really that nuts? So those are some of the things that I want to talk about on the program. I want to go to the callers right now. Let's begin in San Francisco, my home station of KSFO. Keith, line one, what's on your mind, Keith?
Hey, Savage, I wanted to thank you, man. I've been listening to the show since 9/11, 2001, and I was doing time in prison, and I did 22 years, and you saved my life in there because I'd love to listen to your show every day, and that just kept me going. So,
you know, wait, I got to go back to this call because I asked, when I did the show Monday on, what was I doing it on, about prison, what do they call it, special assignment, what do you call it, where like you say you're gay, they put you in protective custody. Did you hear that show on Monday?
I did.
Yeah, and I was very curious about protective custody and how you get in it, and is it what they showed on Ray Donovan and all of that. What were you in for? 22 years means it was murder.
Correct.
You care to disclose anything about it, or you want to put it behind you?
It was domestic violence.
All right. Well, there's nothing to be said to that. I frankly didn't know that they were allowed. Inmates were allowed to listen to anything they wanted to on the radio. I was quite surprised they had that freedom. But that is true, correct?
Yeah, there were a lot of guys that loved you. Another inmate told me about you, and it was the day that the towers were attacked. And so I'm a big nationalist, so I turned you on, and I said, oh, my God, this guy has the answer. So I just kept listening to you, and I just love your show.
Well, let me ask you. So let's say you're listening to my show in a prison, and you have a radio on or earphones, like earbuds.
I had earbuds.
Yeah, because I would think that you'd have people in the next cell saying, I don't want to hear it or something, right?
That would happen, correct.
Right. You're going to have people conflicting even if they don't want to conflict, just for the mere fact that they don't want to listen to what you're listening to. The issue of dominance and fighting, I would think, in a prison would consist of virtually over everything from how much potatoes got put in the plate to what you're listening to. So I would think it'd have to be in private. But does this break down according to ethnic groups? Like, would white guys listen to me more than others?
Yeah, it does, definitely.
I don't think the show is that big in the northern Mexican block.
No, it's not. And we remember you talking about San Quentin and some of the programs there, and a lot of guys hated your guts, but I would always defend you. So
Wait. What programs at San Quentin?
They would talk about us having photography classes and...
Let me tell you, I was wrong. I've revisited that. I personally think that if a person's stuck in one of those hellholes, the more benefits that they can get, the better. I mean, unless they're radical Islamists, I would not even put them there. I'd send them to Siberia.
Well, they would be, if they were radical Islamists, they would be in protective custody because, believe it or not, there are a lot of patriots in there. And they, after 9/11, man, a lot of guys, if you were against the United States and saying bad things, man, you better shut up because you're going to get stuck.
Well, I want to know why they're even in our prisons. I want to know why we don't outsource them, since we outsource jobs, we outsource industries, we outsource factories. Why don't we send them to Siberia and let the Russians treat them the way they're very famous for treating prisoners in northern Siberia? Why do we have to spend $60,000 a year giving them halal meals and Qurans? Why not send them on a one-way ticket to northern Siberia and let Putin take care of them?
That'd be a great idea. In fact,
that's a novel idea for Donald Trump. Let him say that at the next rally. Let's see what happens. I could just imagine what would happen if he said that. Well, I hope you've rehabilitated. I'm sorry. How do you rehabilitate after 22 years in the can?
You do a lot of groups, and you have to go to the parole board, and then they got to find you suitable. So it's not just doing time. You got to show them that you've changed. So I got a job now.
Parole boards are filled with some of the craziest people on earth, aren't they?
Oh, totally crazy, the worst.
I happen to know, I know this from when I was young in New York. I knew one person who was a parole officer. She was as crazy and as wild. In fact, crazier and more wild than most of the prisoners when she wasn't, let's say, in her role as a parole officer. She was a horrible human being all around. But that we can't generalize, can we? All right, listen, this is a great call. Thank you for expressing that. I'm sending you a copy of... Well, if you name it, you gain it. What's the book coming out after Labor Day? You know the name.
Oh, no, but I love The Political Zoo. Do you got that?
I don't. I can only send you Teddy and Me, but I'll gladly tell you the name of that book, Scorched Earth. Stay on the line, you get Teddy and Me. That brings us to the next call. Where are the women? Where did my Savagettes go? They're not here. Where are the Savagettes? I think this is a good spot to play another short piece from the past. And I think that the one I would like to play, which is not that long, would be the half man and half woman from Long Beach. That would be clip 0616110. Robert, do you have that one, the half man and the half woman? Let's see if that one fits right here on the Savage Nation. Old time stories in the midst of it all, right here on the Savage Nation. I got to tell a half man, half woman story in Long Beach. I'm not talking about the supervisors of San Francisco. I'm talking about a long time ago in New York City. Dad had a small antique store. I told you he sold clocks and figures and statues, mainly 19th century French, and some of it was very good. So amongst the many customers, one of them was a circus performer in the freak show of Ringling Brothers, who would get up there half man, half woman. I don't know. He had a breast on one side and the other side he didn't. I don't know how they ended with a half a beard. But, you know, after work, he was a regular person, and he lived in a house in Long Beach, like one of those little Godfather houses. So Dad would deliver the work after work. He delivered his own, you know, sales. He didn't have a delivery boy. And I would, you know, I was the kid. I'd go along on the ride, whether it would be the DeSoto or the Cadillac Model 62 with the statues in the back. And we'd pull up late at night because this guy didn't like to come out during the day. I'll never forget this as long as I live. So the circus guy, the half man, half woman, ring, ring, who's there? Blah, blah, blah. So the guy opens the door, but he can't open the door all the way. He can only open it a crack. Why can he only? And he has to, like, pull the door and push stuff to get. And the house is now littered with art objects in no particular order. Hundreds of statues and paintings on the floor, nothing hung right. He would buy one beautiful thing after another and just randomly put it on the floor like a warehouse. And what was that? Nobody knew. I knew. I was a kid who thought on those long rides out to Long Island and the long rides back, those long winter nights over the Williamsburg Bridge in the car with the sound of the grated metal underneath the tire as your car went over it, looking down from the childhood at the ships that came back from the Korean War with the painting and the LST and then the Brooklyn Navy Yard. All the way through to this, I figured out what it was. This guy was a freak. He was ugly in his own mind. So he compensated for his ugliness by buying beauty. And he needed to surround himself with beautiful things as much as possible in a compulsive way.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Coming up soon will be the Leatherman ends up back where he started, having lost everything and gets cancer. Terrible story. But I want to play it. I want to play it, that's all. I want to have fun today. I don't want to kill myself with the horrendous news out there. So horrible. The news is horrible. The DOJ, Giuliani, Secret Service, DEA, Americans Travel Records, man in bar assaulted for saying all lives matter, Zika rising, and the guys at the NIH are not in prison, Obama getting away with virtual murder and assassination of the Constitution, no one says a word. Murder. May as well be shooting at a shooting range. Let's go to the callers. Michael on WF. No, wait a minute. What's this? Cynthia on KSFO. Let's go to Cynthia. What's on your mind, Cynthia?
I wanted to tell you what day I began listening to you. It was April 16th, 2007. I was working as a correspondent for CBS News. I was sent to Virginia Tech for the shooting there. While I was waiting at a parking lot for something, I turned on the radio station and I heard your show. And you made some points that nobody in the media was making. And when I brought up your name to my bosses, you were vilified. I was ridiculed. And it was kind of the beginning of the end for me at the news, at the network news level. We didn't agree a lot on the network, CBS officials and I, on how to present stories. But I refused to give up listening to you and others like you because you voiced my sentiments that I've never failed to come away knowing more after listening to your show than before I began.
Isn't that amazing? Well, are you still in the media?
No, I'm not, and I'm grateful that I'm not, because I would be embarrassed to say I was in the media with what's happening. This is not the media. This is opinion. It's not news reporting.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm in the opinion business, and I don't hide it. They're in the opinion business. They make believe they're journalists. Of course, that's the problem. I'm sending you a free copy of Scorched Earth, which will be out right after Labor Day. Thanks for that kind commentary. Let's take one more caller on the Savage Nation right now. WJR Richard, line 6. What's your topic? Please fire away.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to talk to you. But I got a beef with you.
No, say it already.
Well, you're saying with Donald Trump, he comes on and he says the NRA, what the NRA should do is go against Hillary, or the suggestion is that somebody shoot Hillary, I think is what the media has suggested out there. I heard that, I what he said. I didn't think that at all.
What do you think he said when he said, but the Second Amendment people can stop her?
politically they could stop her.
Of course that's what he meant. But that didn't stop Obama from sicking the Secret Service on Trump today. Did you hear that story?
Yes, I did. I listened to you.
Can you believe that? Well, thank you for bringing it up again. That's right. Obama's Secret Service went and interviewed Donald Trump because of a statement he made on the campaign trail that has been widely misinterpreted by the celebrities in the media. Yes, my friends, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation extends run with host new contract. This is a day of self-indulgence in the Savage Nation. And I hope that you are still with me. If you started 2.5 hours ago, I know I'm still with me. So hopefully some of you are still on the airplane. Let's take some callers on the program. Michael on WFTL in West Palm Beach, even though it's Fort Lauderdale. I visited that great station. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind from, well, Fort Lauderdale?
The Savage, I wanted to congratulate you on all your wonderful accomplishments. And I also wanted to tell you as to why that I've been listening to you for these many, 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 many years. I found you by accident at one point, but it's not by accident. Everything I feel comes for a reason. I was looking for something that, you know, that told the truth, at least the way you tell it, and that you're not afraid to tell the truth, just like Donald Trump. And you also make your program very entertaining and not boring like some of these other programs that are on.
Well, we don't have to knock them. The Solieris do the best they can. Well, thanks for listening to the Mozart Hour on the Savage Nation. I appreciate it. 855-400-7282. Let's go to, we have so many great calls. There's an open line. KLIF. I haven't heard from KLIF in weeks now. Where are they? Connie on KLIF. I have good numbers on that station. What are you doing, Connie? What's on your mind?
Sir, I've listened to you for almost 20 years. You've been a source of not only, I hear your heart, more truth, more reason, more logic in a three-hour period that I can get an entire month. Where will we go, Michael? You cannot retire. You know that. The smile.
Well, Connie, listen, I am fundamentally a teacher. I've always been a teacher. And all good teaching has an entertainment component to it, or else it's boring, right? But this is my classroom. This is where I am. This is the whole thing. It's when I get up here, I realize I'm speaking to people who want some of what I've got to talk about, and I do. And sometimes it's more interesting or informative than others. I admit that. And some days it's more self-indulgent than others. I admit that. Some days it's purely entertaining, which is good also, because remember, people need some relief, don't they?
We love you.
Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. KSFO, San Francisco. Christina, line 5. What's on your mind, Christina? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I have been a loyal listener of yours since 2001. I was 19 years old in college. I started listening to your show after 9/11. Back then, I knew nothing about the world, and you definitely helped shape my views. I want to thank you.
So now wait, you're 34 now, so I assume I completely destroyed your social life.
That's okay. I've been married for a long time.
You know, here's a funny thing. I actually am responsible for several marriages as a result of this radio show. Back in the beginning when I was a local host on KSMO, I actually did a segment putting people together. Do you know that?
I think I remember hearing that, actually.
And one of the couples, I'll never forget, I think they got married in the Marines Memorial Auditorium here in San Francisco. They met through me on the air. They found out they're like-minded conservatives. They dated, and they, you know, I don't want to do that anymore because there's too many crazy people out there. I don't want the liability. You never know, you know, oh, yeah, I love the America, or they could hurt a woman. I don't want that. But it did happen, you know. Christina, thank you. I'm sending you, stay in the line, Teddy and me, because that's what I want you to have. That's all. I want to do something for you because I don't do this other than every few years, which is there's a story about the Leatherman who... Can I play the story? It's so important that you hear it. It's an interesting story from my past, and it has a lot to do with who I am today on the Savage Nation. The story I'm going to tell you occurred when I was a young man. First a kid and then a young man. And it was about a man who grew up as my father's, one of my father's best friends in a very poor neighborhood in New York City. They were immigrants together. Their parents came over. They came over, I think, maybe on the same boat, or they met each other in the slums of New York. And they both had a very tough life, and they worked their way up little by little, as the immigrants have to do and as they struggle in the society. And this man went into a business that took off at a certain point like a rocket. He hit a fad in a certain business, and he started to make a great deal of money, and he moved way beyond our family. While we lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, an attached brick house, he had the money to move his family to a detached house. Remember how important that distinction was in those days. It's like the Buick LeSabre as opposed to the Buick Roadmaster. Well, God forbid you a Rockefeller, you bought a Cadillac, if you can imagine. That's how people used to grade themselves in those days by their status, cars and houses. I don't suppose it's much different today. It just isn't as easy to figure out in some regard, not on the road anyway. Anyway, so he moved to this detached house in Roslyn, New York. And it was a beautiful house. It had its own garden all around it. We only had a little strip of grass in the backyard, a little teeny one in the front. And the carpet was wall-to-wall, and it was pink. And he was a big cigar smoker. And we go over and visit, and I had a very good time. He would gloat, you know, with the cigar and lord it over my father. And we'd leave. My father never said anything against him. But, you know, I could see in his eyes that he was in his, you know, he was a little, let's say, lost that little battle at that time. You know how men are. I mean, men are competitive. Even if they love their friend, if their friend does better than them, there's a degree of envy in every human being. It's just one of the cardinal sins. As years went on, the man's business continued to thrive. And then I left home. I moved away from New York City. I went and did my thing collecting plants, working for my graduate degrees. Thousands of miles away. I was living 6,000 miles away, then 9,000 miles away in the Fiji Islands. And lo and behold, on one of my trips back, I collapsed entirely. The fad that he had rode like a wave had died. Women were no longer buying that particular product. And the man who had a chain of successful wholesale stores lost everything. He lost everything, and it was so fast that he wound up living where he started, on the Lower East Side of New York, in a poor relative's apartment with his wife and the relative's family, back where he started in a one-room apartment. And that's where I come in. I come back from one of my trips to the Fiji Islands. I'm a young man in my, I don't know how old I must have been. I don't remember, 25, 30, I don't remember what age I was already anymore. And there he was, sitting in my father's house. And I love this man. I loved him like another father. I loved all my father's friends. And you know how it is when you're a kid in a very close-knit community. You tend to love the people like they're your own. You know, we all grew up so closely together. There was never a bad word between him and my father. Man, he's sitting there shrunken up in the chair in my living room where he had lost everything. And he looks up at me, still smoking a cigar. And he was shrunken in the chair. And he looks up at me in his eyes and he says, Michael, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. And his eyes were like wandering left and right. He didn't understand what happened to him. And he said, I'd rather I have cancer than what God did to me. And lo and behold, I soon left New York. I went back to do what I did, which is collecting plants. And I heard that 2 years later he died from one of the most rapidly invasive forms of brain cancer. Be careful what you say. God hears the truth, but waits.
Savage.
That's chilling. I'm listening to it. I could see him in the chair this minute. And I'm touched by my own stories, and that's the mark of a good story, is when the storyteller himself hears it in replay and it still touches him. I hope it touched you, because there's a lot of depth in that particular story. In that, as I listen to it, I imagine my listeners today hearing it, especially immigrants who listen to talk radio in order to learn the mores of the land and to learn the language that they want to learn. I can just imagine how they could relate to a story like that, maybe more so than people who are not in that menu of being new to America. You know, they can relate to it better. But I understand all you want to hear is Trump, 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 Clinton, 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 and I will do that at another time. In fact, I want to talk about what you want to talk about. Let's go to Marilyn on KBET Radio. Marilyn, what city are you calling from?
Chico, California.
Okay, what's on your mind, Marilyn?
Dr. Savage, I am a hardcore Savagette, and I want to remind you, I want to take you back 15 years ago. I had just started listening to you, and my son was 11. We were in the car listening to you, and you were talking about a one-armed midget wallpaper hanger. Do you remember that?
I don't remember him. Well, what was that about?
I think you were saying that you would rather hire a one-armed midget wallpaper hanger who was reliable than something you might get off the street nowadays.
You mean, what do you mean by get off the street nowadays? An illegal alien?
Not reliable, you know, no work ethic.
Oh, you mean a new college graduate, a millennial.
Exactly. Well, my 11-year-old son got hooked in, and he's been a huge fan of yours ever since. And he listens to you every chance he gets. So I just want to congratulate you on your success.
Where does he live? What city is he in?
He is incarcerated. He is in Soledad, California.
No. Well, let's not play with that one. It must be heartbreaking, huh?
But he listens to you whenever he gets a chance, whenever he can get you in on the radio, you know?
Well, again, I'm finding out for this week for the first time, since on Monday I was speaking about that Ray Donovan segment where he pretends he's gay to get into protective custody, if that exists, the way they presented it in television. And I was quite interested to learn all the varieties of protective custody that there are in prison. Religious protective custody, sexual orientation, all sorts of things. And without delving into details, I mean, I hope your son survives where he is. Is he okay in prison?
Interesting form of protective custody, actually.
Well,
he requested that because he didn't want to be involved in the drama or the politics of the main line. So he requested protective custody just so that he could be safe and do his time.
But the thing is don't you have to prove that you're worthy of that protective custody because of a certain reason?
Not that I know of. He just told me, I think, you know, then you have to be careful because the regular guys are going to be out to get you. But he just said that he didn't want to be involved in, you know, all that. And so he just wants to...
Well, I hope that he's not in a cell with a one-armed midget wallpaper hanger. That's all I can say.
Oh, huh?
That would be hard to be housed in a cell with a one-armed midget wallpaper hanger. I can't imagine how tough that would be. You'd have to help him up and down. Well, if he took the lower berth, okay. But what if you're in a berth and you're on the lower berth and they put a one-armed midget wallpaper hanger in the upper berth? That's a problem for you because you got to help him up and down. All right, Marilyn, we've had some fun. I appreciate it. I'm so, what do you want, Teddy and me or Scorched Earth? Which would you prefer?
I would love to have Scorched Earth.
You got it. You got it, Ming. You got it, Ming. I like to imitate accents. I'm practicing my Spanish accent for a part in a movie I'm never going to be in. You got it, Ming. That would be more Puerto Rican, I think, than Mexican. You got it, Ming. That's more Puerto Rican, I think, than it. You know who does the best varieties of Spanish accents in the theater? Al Pacino. He can do Puerto Rican gangster. He can do Cuban gangster. Remember all of the different varieties, but the one that I liked the best was that one. You got it, Meng. That was the one, but it wasn't him. It was one of the characters in it. Yes, my friends, very theatrical. As I said, one of the reasons I'm looking forward to January 2017 with this new announcement is because those of you who are diehard fans and love me, that's what it comes down to. It's like people who love your show love you as a person. You're part of their life. And we understand that. Believe me, it's not lost on us. You are, in essence, our, I would say, radio family. But in that regard, it goes well beyond that because we all live in our mind anyway, right, to a large extent. So when this show is live streamed, it's going to be a new burden for me anyway because, you know, I won't be able to eat on air. I'm going to have to dress better. I'm going to have to get someone to clip my hair before the show. Teddy stares at me during the whole show. I'm going to have to shift his chair to the other side so that you could see him on camera. It's going to present a new relationship with my audience, by the way. And I suspect it's going to be a better one. If I do the right camera angle and I get the right hairdresser, I'm sure things will be fine.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, those are my earliest memories of radio. I grew up on radio as a little kid, and to me it was no television. Believe it or not, that's how ancient I am, but it's like the rhyme of the ancient mariner here on the Savage Nation. I don't think it's a deficit. I think it's a plus, especially in a world of such worship of youth based upon nothing but beauty. And I love beauty and I love youth, but you know there's room for other things as well, such as time, age, wisdom, something we don't pay much attention to in our society. And I hope that that's one of the reasons that you will continue to be listening to this show for years to come. Again, it's in your hands. The truth is, the show is renewed by the syndicator, Westwood One, because of you. If the ratings were not there, I mean, I wouldn't be here. This is like to live and die in L.A., as I said to you. That's where that theme song, I wish we could go out with it, that pounding theme. Savage Nation extends run with host New Contract. It's on the Drudge Report. It's been there all day. Which is awesome when you think about it, with the amount of traffic he gets. It's been up there for 8 hours or something like that. It means people are hitting that story. So my audience is once again proving itself to be the most loyal audience in radio, and I know that from having won the Radio Hall of Fame Award, and I'm going to go there in November and give that speech I promised you, and I'll be back to do more of these shows, God willing, for quite a while, irrespective of whether Trump or Hillary wins. I intend to be here on the radio. It will not be all politics. It will be news, views, and reviews. It has to be. Because at the end of the election, we have to put it behind us. There's no, how much can you take of this? Can you take any more of this after the election? Yes, of course. But having said that, I'm sorry the show is over.